Welcome back. I'm Michael Carey, the moderator of this year's running program. Thank you for joining us as we hear from the legislative candidates for seats throughout South Central Alaska. Joining me tonight are Daisha Eaton of KSK Radio and Grace Jang of KTVA Television. Now let's meet the candidates for Senate District N. They are non-affiliated candidate Ron Devon and Republican Kathy Giesel. Let's go to our opening statement for Mr. Devon. 1 minute, please.
Thank you very much. I want to thank the League of Women Voters and KAKM for putting on these running debates. My name is Ron Devon, and I'm running for State Senate in District N. That runs from South Anchorage all the way down to Nikiski. I was born in Fairbanks and raised in a small town near there called Anderson, where my dad ended up being the very first mayor. I've lived and worked all around the state, from Prudhoe Bay to Juneau to Bristol Bay. So I understand a little bit about the diversity of this district and some of its opportunities and its challenges. I have four children, and two of them are still in the Anchorage School District. And my wife, Jeannie, and I retired as small business owners. We operated and owned the Museum Store and Nature Source in the Anchorage Fifth Avenue Mall for almost 20 years. Everywhere I've lived in Alaska, if you wanted to get something done, you had to work together to make it happen. And it didn't matter what political party you belonged to. I, like more than half of my district, am unaffiliated, and I'm looking forward to sharing my values
and
my vision for Alaska.
We're going to have to leave it right there to go to Ms.
Giesel. Hi, I'm State Senator Kathy Giesel. I'm the incumbent running for re-election in newly redistricted Senate District N. That's N, as in new resource development, new jobs, and new energy for Alaska. For the last 2 years, I've served effectively for my district in the state Senate. The Senate President appointed me to two committees, Senate Labor and Commerce Committee and the Senate State Affairs Committee. Most recently, the Senate President appointed me to the Alaska Arctic Policy Commission, which will be a very interesting committee, commission looking at our interaction with other Arctic countries. Professionally, I'm a nurse practitioner. My master's degree was earned at the University of Alaska Anchorage. During the last 2 years, I've focused on three things: resource development, Alaska private sector jobs, and energy for Alaska. You know, the main issue facing our district is increasing the amount of oil that's being produced on the North Slope. I look forward to working further on that issue.
Okay, let's go to Daisha Eaton with our first question for Mr. Devon.
Mr. Devon, as we heard earlier, you're running as non-affiliated. Can you explain to the voters exactly what that means?
Well, I've been unaffiliated for 25 years here in the state. And when I was thinking about running for office, I had to make a decision of what I wanted to do. More than half of my district is unaffiliated, just like me. And so when I was talking to people that were in the legislature and asking them what their recommendations were as far as what I should do to move forward, the recommendation was that I fit the district very well with my values and that more than half is unaffiliated like me, so it just made a lot of sense to stay right where I am and run unaffiliated.
Ms. Giesel, 30 seconds to comment on what you've heard.
Well, you know, I have always been a Republican. I have always supported less government, private sector, jobs, private companies, resource development. And so these values I've held for my entire life. I want to see Alaska prosper. I want to see our kids be able to continue to live here. And that requires a robust economy. I believe that a conservative approach with less government and allowing the private sector to develop jobs is the best approach.
Yeah, we'll have to leave it there. Grace Jang.
This question is for Ms. Giesel. Earlier this summer, you wrote an op-ed piece basically advocating for Shell's expedited processes to drill in the Chukchi and Beaufort Seas. How do you balance that with the interests of some of your constituents who are worried about environmental impacts?
Alaska has managed our resource development very effectively and in preserving our environment. If you've ever been to the North Slope, you see how carefully the companies work up there. As soon as a vehicle stops, the driver jumps out, puts a pan under the vehicle to make sure that no oil spills on that ground. I'm a lifelong Alaskan. I care very much about our environment. I have three grandchildren that live here in this state. I want them to be able to grow up, explore this beautiful state, At the same time, we have the technology to develop our resources safely. I believe we can do both.
Mr. Devin, 30 seconds.
Well, the Beaufort and Chukchi Sea, excuse me, there are some large potential reserves up in the Beaufort and Chukchi Sea. And I believe that we should go after those. But one of the things I want to make sure of, because it is offshore, and if we have a spill in that area, that it could be fairly devastating to the Arctic. And so making sure that we have the things in place to take care of any kind of accidents that we might have up there is really important.
Daisha Eaton.
This is a question for Ms. Giesel. The bipartisan coalition has become a central issue in this election. You've said as in our interviews before that you're not interested in joining a bipartisan coalition. Can you explain how government gets better by being more partisan or by you not joining the coalition?
Right now there's no coalition, Daisha. What are you thinking? I don't understand. What would that coalition look like?
Well, there has been a Senate bipartisan coalition, correct?
But going forward, that coalition is dissolved now.
Right, so there'll be a new one. Would you be interested in joining a new one?
What would it look like?
Oh, I have no idea.
Nor do I. And therefore,
well, I think it would be a mixture of Democrats and Republicans. We could certify that.
So is that on the table then? You would be interested, okay, perhaps, if there's a change in the makeup?
Let's see what it looks like.
Okay, thank you very much. Mr. Devin, 15 seconds, you want to comment?
Well, being unaffiliated gives me a unique opportunity to work with all sides to get things done for our state and for our district. I would join the majority because that's where the work gets done and that's where things happen, and so it makes sense to be a part of that working group and taking a seat at the table and lobbying for my position.
Grace Jang.
This question is from Mr. Devin. You're a member of a church that every year gives the municipality a payment in lieu of taxes pilot, and the municipality likes that. Do you think that churches should pay taxes?
You know, when we've discussed this heavily at our church, and one of the things that we determined for ourselves is that if we have a fire, we utilize the fire department. If we have somebody that gets ill while we're at church, the ambulance comes there and takes care of us. So we utilize, we ride on the roads to get to church. And so it makes sense for us to pay our fair share when it comes to taxes for the municipality because we utilize those services.
Should all churches pay taxes?
I think that they should.
Ms. Giesel.
You know, the freedom of religion is in the First Amendment to the Bill of Rights. And if we begin to impose taxes on religious organizations, that's really going to inhibit those organizations from existing in many cases. Sometimes congregations are very small and would be unable to pay taxes. I think it would be an infringement of our First Amendment rights.
Let's go back to Daisha Eaton.
For Ms. Giesel. I was driving down the road in the car the other day, and I heard this ad on the radio, I believe sponsored by labor unions, that said that you want to do away with public education. And is that true? Can you speak to that?
Thank you for that question, Daisha. I absolutely do not want to do away with public education. I know wonderful public education teachers that we have in this state and in my district. I support public schools. In fact, got appropriations for several public schools in my district. What the special interest groups are concerned about is the opportunity for competition with our public schools, that is, private schools, charter schools, other opportunities for parents to choose for their children's education. But I absolutely do not wish to abolish the public education system.
Mr. Devin.
I fully support public education. That's the great equalizer. That's what gives America its great exceptionalism. If people have an opportunity to get a good education, that gives them a start in providing for a good life for themselves. And it also makes sure that we don't have as many people in the prisons. And so I think that public education is a really good thing.
Grace Jang, your last question in this segment.
And Mr. Devin, legislators and candidates are always talking about creating jobs. What exactly does that look like? What's your plan?
You know, I've been a business owner for a long time, and making sure that we have good, high-paying jobs here in the state of Alaska is really important. If we open up the North Slope to further development and produce more oil off of the slope, that will produce a lot more jobs up on the slope. beyond that, taking the resources that we get from the slope and using those with bringing natural gas down with a pipeline, we can have a cheap source of energy to do value-added manufacturing here in the state. And a good example of that is the Agrium plant in Nikiski. If we have the Agrium plant running, a lot of people go to work. It produces a product that we can ship outside.
Ms. Giesel, 30 seconds to comment on what you heard.
Private sector jobs are critical to a robust economy. Government jobs do not really build an economy, so I'm very focused on private sector jobs. Clearly, the North Slope and our petroleum industry, as well as our natural gas potential, is a main source of jobs for Alaskans. But we can diversify this economy by reducing regulations on business owners and allowing them to hire more people and expand their businesses. That's what I'm working for.
Now we'll go to the questions from the candidates. Mr. Devin, you will have the opportunity to ask the first question. Your opponent will have 45 seconds to respond, and you'll have 15 seconds to comment on the response. Your first question, sir.
This was about employment. This kind of ties right in. So at one of the Tea Party forums, you wanted to restrict collective bargaining rights and oppose Alaska Hire, and that you think it's parochial for us to ask where people are from before we hire them. This will reduce wages and take away jobs from Alaskans. My question is this: what are you going to say to those people who no longer have jobs here and the business community that suffers because the economy is going outside of Alaska?
Go ahead, please.
Thank you. You know, the phrase Alaska Hire has been bantered around a great deal. Alaska Hire was deemed unconstitutional by our U.S. Supreme Court back in 1978. You know, when the economy is booming, there's jobs for everyone. North Dakota has an unemployment rate of 3%, the least in the U.S. Alaska could be there if we could open up job opportunities. But, you know, one of the things that really concerns me is that while my opponent and his supporters tout Alaska Hire, he has brought up people from Oregon and hired them to run his campaign, hiring Oregon companies to do his marketing. How is this thousands of dollars Alaska Hire?
Okay, we'll have to continue with that a little bit later. Ms. Giesel, your opportunity to ask a question.
Absolutely. Mr. Devin, your website links to several labor union events. 21% of your campaign funds come from unions. The number one issue for the unions is a return to the defined benefit retirement plan. How do you support that? Do you support returning to a defined benefit plan?
Absolutely, I do. It's really interesting when I've been knocking on doors in the district, whether it's firefighters, police officers, corrections officers, teachers, they all say the same thing. Having a defined contribution plan has cost them new hires. They hire people, they train them, and then they start looking around for other jobs because they don't have the benefits package that they'd really like to have. And so we're losing a lot of our experienced people. We're training them and sending them outside to other jobs. And so it only makes economic sense for us to go back to a defined benefits plan so that we can maintain our employment force here in the state.
Ms. Giesel, 15 seconds to comment.
Thank you. You know, over the next 70 years, we are going to keep our promise to our retirees who are under the defined benefit plan at the cost of $141 billion. We cannot afford to go back to this plan.
Ms. Giesel, a second question for your opponent.
Thank you. Mr. Devin, members of your household have financially supported several and only Democrat candidates, including Barack Obama for president. Yet you claim to be an unaffiliated candidate. What part of the Democrat platform and President Obama's agenda do you disagree with?
You know, it's interesting that you ask that question, because you could ask a similar question about the Republican Party platform and what I disagree with. I've been unaffiliated for 25 years here in the state at least, and I make up my own mind about who I vote for and what policies and issues I support. There are a lot of issues here in the state that we need to talk about, and to start pointing fingers at one party or the other party and trying to define yourself that way, I think is not the best way to work forward in the state. We need to work together and be more bipartisan and working together to get things done for the state of Alaska.
Ms. Giesel.
You know, a person's core philosophy shapes how they will vote. And President Obama has enacted policies that are very detrimental to Alaska. I'm concerned about someone that has supported him.
Mr. Devin.
This is about oil and gas. You're on the record staunchly supporting House Bill 110, the governor's $2 billion oil tax giveaway, and during the legislative session and during your primary with Joe Arness. The giveaway has no guarantees that Alaska will get anything back from in return. How do you think this is a good idea, and how do you think it's a good business decision for the state of Alaska?
The question is full of misstatements. Senate Bill 110 never came to a vote in the Senate. In addition, I have never touted unfailing support for Senate Bill or House Bill 110. My interest in adjusting oil taxes is to make Alaska competitive. We've heard from numerous consultants during two legislative sessions that Alaska is not competitive on a worldwide market. In the last 3 years, the world has changed, and Alaska has not. We're being left behind, and it's evident by our loss of production on the North Slope.
Mr. Devin, 15 seconds.
Production on the North Slope should be in the areas of new production rather than existing fields. The $2 billion tax giveaway was designed to give the oil companies just a whole bunch of money with no guarantee of anything in return.
Ms. Giesel, your last question in this question segment.
Thank you. And let's follow up on production. You know, peak production for Alaska, we were producing nearly 4 barrels per person per day. However, today, we're producing less than 1 barrel per person. How, Mr. Devin, do you propose to increase production on the North Slope rapidly?
Well, I don't know if rapidly is going to work. The existing fields that are there peaked in like 1990. And so for the last 22 to 24 years, we've been in decline on those two elephant fields, Prudhoe Bay and Kuparuk. And if we want to increase production up on the slope, we need to start looking at the other fields around there, the harder to get to oil that the independents are going after right now, like Great Bear. They have plans to do a whole bunch of drilling. And we've all seen in the news recently where they're really excited about what they've found so far. So we need to incentivize those new companies to be able to develop those new fields and produce more oil for the pipeline. I'm less interested in filling up the pipeline as making sure we have a long-term revenue stream for the state of Alaska.
Ms. Giesel, 15 seconds.
If we don't get more production at the current rate of decline, we are jeopardizing the continued function of the Trans-Alaska pipeline. It will take 7 to 10 years to get any new oil in a new field into production and actually flowing into taps. It's jeopardizing our future.
Okay, Mr. Devin, this is your last question of this segment from Ms. Giesel.
All right. You said that you promised your supporters that you would not work in the bipartisan working group in Juneau, and for the last 2 years didn't, and that was your choice. It left our district unrepresented. If the makeup of the Senate is exactly the same, would you make the same choice again?
Again, the question is full of misstatements. In fact, I said that I would not work with a Democrat-led coalition. However, I have been very effective for my district, have worked across party affiliations on four bills, particularly. The most important bill actually had two Democrats as primary sponsors. It passed the legislature with 100% yes votes in both houses, because I worked with both sides of the aisle and with both houses.
Okay, Mr. Devin, 15 seconds to comment.
Where all of the work gets done in the Senate is in the majority, and that's 80% of the Senate. There was 20% of the Senate that fell into the minority and did not get to work with the rest of the Senate.
Let's return to our reporter questions. First of all, Daisha Eden.
This is for Ms. Giesel. You were in the minority last time. What were your achievements and how were you able to accomplish them? You alluded to this a little bit earlier.
Thank you so much for that question, Daisha. The universal vaccine program here in the state of Alaska had lost funding from the federal government. They have less and less money themselves. That bill was primary co-sponsored with Democrat Senator Donnie Olson. Senator Bette Davis signed on as a co-sponsor of that bill immediately. The bill rapidly went through both houses in one session, 100% yes votes. In addition, I opened up some state land to private use, and in the last minutes of the session, passed an amendment to a bill that made a significant difference for Alaskans. That was only accomplished because I went to every Democrat in the Senate and asked for their support.
Mr. Devin, 30 seconds.
You know, bills that are unanimous or have wide-ranging support in the Senate would be easy to pass through, and I certainly would sign on as a co-sponsor of those bills. Where the work really happens is on those bills that are contentious, to where you have to sit down at the table and work with others to really hammer out a deal that's going to be good for the state of Alaska.
Grace Jang.
This question is for Mr. Devin. It's a two-part question. Does Alaska have a growing crime problem, and what can be done on a state level to legislate some of that curbing?
You know, I don't know. I haven't looked at the numbers to know that we do have a growing crime problem. I do know that we have a lack of adequate police officers and village protection officers. And so we need to fully fund that and make sure that we have enough protections officers here in Anchorage and around the state to make sure that we can get a handle on crime.
Ms. Giesel, 30 seconds.
You know, we often think that crime can be prevented by more enforcement, but I'd like to see crime be prevented by people having positive lives, good-paying jobs, productive jobs, jobs that can support a family, where a person has a sense of self-esteem. So my focus has been on job creation, particularly in areas where there isn't a lot of industry, like rural Alaska.
Daisha Eaton.
This is a question for Mr. Devin. Because of redistricting, part of your district is now on the Kenai Peninsula, and you were explaining it earlier, it's kind of a hodgepodge. How do you intend to represent the needs of the more rural Kenai Peninsula area and the more urban South Anchorage area?
Well, thank you very much, Daisha, for that question. You know, I grew up in a rural town for my early years and have worked all around the state in a lot of different jobs. And so I have a real unique perspective on rural versus urban. And my wife and I were business owners in the Anchorage Fifth Avenue Mall for almost 20 years. And so I think that I'm able to resonate with people in my district and ask them what is important to them and try and lobby for what they will need to have a better life and have good jobs and a stable economy and good education in their areas, because those are the things that resonate with just about everybody in the district.
Ms. Giesel, 30 seconds.
My new district is a wonderful place. It has diverse needs, but it also has some common needs. Now, for the last 2 years, I've been representing all of Turnagain Arm, so Indian Bird, Girdwood, Hope, and even through the tunnel to Whittier. These are very rural areas, similar, with similar concerns, to the Kenai Peninsula, the northern half of the Kenai Peninsula. You know, we're all Alaskans, and I don't like to separate and compete one against the other. I look at common needs and common interests, and that's what I'll be working for my constituents.
Final question this round, Grace Jang.
This question is for Ms. Giesel. You're a nurse practitioner. How would you make healthcare more accessible and more affordable for Alaskans?
You know, we recently had a study done by the Alaska Healthcare Commission that showed that we have extraordinarily high costs for healthcare here. I would like to see more access to healthcare. That means breaking down barriers for healthcare providers in terms of licensing issues, in terms of how and where they can practice. I'd also, actually, part of the work that I did in the Senate was to provide some additional funding for the Girdwood Clinic. This is a clinic in the community of Girdwood operated by a nurse practitioner who wanted to expand her services even as far away as Hope. Because of that funding that I was able to obtain, she's going to proceed with that.
Mr. Devin, 30 seconds.
There were two pieces to this puzzle. One is Denali Kid Care that my opponent opposed, and I would support Denali Kid Care. And the other thing is that there was a proposal for a Medicare clinic. We know that we have problems having adequate health care for our seniors, and I want to make sure that we take care of our seniors here in the state of Alaska. And so providing for a Medicare clinic is a way of getting there.
Hey, Daisha Eaton, we'll have a question for you. The format's a little bit different. It'll be the same question for both of you. Each of you have 30 seconds to respond. Daisha Eaton.
For Ms. Giesel, most of the candidates have talked about creating more jobs on the North Slope through increased oil production. Many of those jobs go to people from outside the state. How do we change that? How do we get more Alaskans working here?
Some of the jobs go to people from outside of the state because they are specialized jobs that we want done safely, not only for the personnel, but also for our environment. So that requires specially trained teams. But you know, this gets back to education. I am a strong supporter of career and technical education. And so that is an area that I've focused on and will continue to work for.
Mr. Devin, 30 seconds.
Well, the last report that I heard that they were hiring up on the slope, about 54% of the new hires were from outside of Alaska. That's a huge percentage. Even though the percentage of current employment on the slope is much higher than that, all new hires have been in that 54% range. And so I think that it's important that we have things in place legislatively to provide for local hire.
Okay, we have a couple minutes left. Let's go to our closing statements, and we'll start with 1 minute for Mr. Devin, followed by 1 minute from Ms. Giesel.
Working together to move Alaska forward. It's not just a campaign slogan for me. It's actually why I'm running. Special interests have kept Alaska in gridlock. It's wasted our time, our energy, and our money. There are important decisions that we have to make now that can affect the quality of life that we have now and what we may leave for our children and our grandchildren. As you can see, there are stark differences between me and my opponent. The $2 billion tax giveaway to the oil industry, privatizing schools in Alaska, Alaska Hire, and a willingness to work with others. You're the boss, you're the voter, you decide. My name is Ron Devin, and I'd be honored to have your vote.
Ms. Giesel.
As your state senator, I have worked with diverse members of both houses, both the Senate and the House. In fact, the legislative skits, which happen each year, portrays legislators and kind of pokes fun at them. They're really fun and amusing. And the skits portray me as present in all committee hearings. In fact, there was one skit that said, "How will you know that hell has frozen over?" One of the answers, Senator Giesel misses a committee meeting. I've worked hard as your senator. I've worked effectively as your senator. I've focused on responsible resource development, private sector jobs, energy for all Alaskans. My opponent has made some dramatic, extreme statements, which are false. I look forward to continuing to serve you in the state Senate, serving South Anchorage Hillside, Turnagain Arm, and the northern half of the Kenai Peninsula.
Thank you, Mr. Devin. Thank you, Ms. Giesel. Now let's meet the unopposed candidate in House District 27.
Hello, I'm Lori Townsend with APRN News. Join us at 9 p.m. on November 6th for live election night coverage from the Dena'ina Convention Center in downtown Anchorage. The new districts in this year's election will bring interesting results as the votes are tallied. We'll talk with candidates as precinct numbers come in and with other reporters from across the state. So join us for live coverage November 6th from 9 to 11 p.m. right here on KSKA 91.1 FM.
You're listening to Running on KSKA Anchorage, FM 91.1.
Good evening. I'm Mike Hawker, candidate to represent the Upper Hillside, South Anchorage, and Turnagain Arm. You know, I'm really honored this election to be unopposed. It's been my privilege serving our communities these past 10 years. You know, I will continue working to earn and keep your trust. My approach to legislative decision making always involves three questions. Is it the right thing to do? Is it the best thing to do? And is it possible to do? I listen to all sides of each issue, I get the facts straight, and I make the best decision possible in the best interests of our district, our community, and our state. I work for you. Your counsel and your concerns are always welcome. I promise straight talk, hard work, and effective results. You know, I sincerely appreciate your continued support, and I ask for your vote on November 6th. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Hawker. This concludes this year's running program. Thank you for joining us.
Running is a production of Alaska Public Telecommunications Incorporated. Audio will be posted on our website at alaskapublic.org. John LaFournaise is the director, Pat Yak, producer, Josh Edge, associate producer, Scott Bruno, audio engineer. Running is hosted by Michael Carey. Panelists include Daisha Eaton of KSKA Anchorage, Kyle Hopkins of the Anchorage Daily News, and Grace Jang of KTVA. Camera operators are Philip Ginther, Candace Ferguson, Joe Jackson, Eric Judson, and Josh Edge. Lighting design by John LaFournaise and Scott Bruno. Production assistance provided by the League of Women Voters, Pat Redmond, Carol Dickison, Kay LaDempera, and Barbara Norrell. Engineering, Larry Anderson. Traffic coordinator, Kristen Dugan. In Master Control, Sean Fletcher. Set design and construction provided by KPB Architects and Neeser Construction. This is KSKA Anchorage FM 91.1.